The recorder is now on, sir.
All right. We'll get the meeting started. Good evening, everyone. This is Ari Alex. Welcome to the Pinecone Township Board of Trustees regular bi-weekly meeting. It's December 10th, 2020, 6:30 p.m. I am going to ask Vice Chair Fleshman to lead us in an opening prayer. Ms. Fleshman?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I hope everybody has enjoyed the nice weather. That was a welcome surprise for the last couple of days. It gives you an opportunity to get those last few things done before the snow comes. Okay, here we go. We can bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and to serve as our community leaders. We ask that you be with us through these meetings, that we work together for the better good of the township. We ask that you be with those families that have been touched by the COVID, and Lord, that it's just such a trying time. And with the holidays upon us, I ask that you be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Trustee Horn, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Yes, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I could ask for a roll call.
Ari.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve the following meeting minutes. Regular meeting, October 22nd, 2020. Special meeting, November 12th, 2020. And the regular meeting, November 12th, 2020. Can I ask for a second?
With no further discussion, Mr. Chairman, I will second it.
Great. I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to move to old business and with resolutions from the fiscal department. So I'll hand it over to our fiscal officer.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Mary Reinhart, fiscal officer. I'll start out with the resolution 2020-224, which is supplemental appropriations. This is for a resolution regarding the amounts presented below, which are hereby appropriated. This would be general fund debt service. The current appropriations are $174,900. The increase is $2,600, with revised appropriations $177,500. Motor vehicle business tax, highways, other, current appropriations $21,900, reduction of $5,500, revised appropriations $16,400. Gas tax, highways, salaries, current appropriations $114,700, an increase of $1,300 with revised appropriations of $116,000. Other, $51,600 current. Increase of $3,700, revised appropriation $65,300 for a total of current $176,300, and net increase of $5,000, revised appropriations $181,300. Under road and bridge, highways, current appropriations $127,200, an increase of $2,200, leaving $129,400. Other, $12,175, increase of $1,100, revised appropriations, $13,275. Capital outlay, $16,750 current. Reduction of $16,750, leaving zero. Debt service, $22,675, an increase of $16,750, revised appropriations, $39,485. Starting with $178,800, an increase of net $3,300, revised appropriations $182,100. Under the fire levy, fire protection, salaries $2,480,000, no change. Other $1,330,100, an increase of $200,000, with a net of $1,530,100. Under the CARES Act relief, emergency medical services, other current $20,502, increase $2, rounding here, for a net of $20,504. Permissive motor vehicle license tax, highways, salaries, $1,248,000 currently, no change. Other, $1,248,200, an increase of $20,600 with a net of $1,260,800. Debt service, $11,200 current, no change. Other financing uses, $20,600 current, reduction of $20,600, zero net. The total of the whole amount is $1,328,000 current, and revised appropriations, $1,328,000. I ask for a resolution.
So I'll move. Is there a second?
I will second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, move on to resolution 2020-225, the resolution to build supplemental appropriations for the CARES Act funds that we just received. This is CARES Act number 4 funds. The amounts presented below are hereby appropriated. Local coronavirus relief, emergency medical services, salaries current, increased to $32,301 with a net revised appropriation of $42,301. Ask for a resolution.
I'll move. Is there a second?
I will second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I also included an exhibit to the trustees with explanations for this. Are there any questions regarding those?
No, I don't have any. I don't know if the other trustees do.
I don't have any. I think you did a great job explaining it.
Ralph?
What?
Okay,
what's
thank
it?
You. Okay, resolution number 2020-226, engagement letter for fiscal office consultant. I don't know if you want me to read the whole thing because it is a repeat, other than we added number 5, which is an assist in reconciling and correcting year-end payroll reports. And we have, I'm asking for the fees are not to exceed $7,500 for 200 years of service billed periodically to the township at a rate of $3,750. The work completed is subject to review and acceptance by the township fiscal officer.
Ms. Reinhart, are we, Mr. Chairman, I apologize, I have a quick question. Are we still looking at possibly wrapping everything up by April with Jeff?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
so that's our...
that is the case.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, resolution then for $7,500 for 200 hours.
Yeah, I'll move for resolution 2020-226. Is there a second?
I will second.
Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Ralph.
Yes, what are we voting on? I didn't catch that.
This is the continuation of Jeff Wilczek for another 200 hours.
Another 200 hours?
Yeah.
Okay. How much we're going to need to be on that, Mary, or got any idea?
Yeah, this is going to take us through part of January. Okay. He's working at least 25 hours a week, so
okay.
I'm thinking about 4 weeks.
Okay. And beyond that, can you tell what we're going to need beyond that?
I can assume, I think we should assume we really need him through April. We have, well, I'm going to cover that later with LGS and the auditor. Actually, I can
okay.
do that now. I can move ahead to that item of the status of LGS work and audit.
Well, we have a resolution on the
oh,
table
yes,
now. We should
you're
probably...
Right.
Is there Ralph or John, anyone have any additional discussion on this resolution?
No, that's fine. They're just, we're carrying on. I'm just kind of curious how much longer we can do. So, okay.
I'll call the question and ask for a vote on this resolution.
Okay.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right. We're going to move on to resolution 227, which is account payroll and accounts payable. It's dissolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves the accounts payable in the amount of $95,013.21 and payroll on 11/27/2020 in the amount of $163,258.96 and payroll ending on 12/8/2020 in the amount of $263,260.09 for a total of $521,532.26 from check number 64839 to 65116 and electronic vouchers from number 611 to 812-2020.
So moved. Is there a second?
I will second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, and then the update requested regarding LGS work in the audit. We just had a conversation with LGS this week. They were wondering where we were as far as them being able to start their work again. Jeff has made a lot of progress, but he's actually had to work kind of backwards because we were working on the budget. So they want to start with 2017, and he's got more of 2019 and 18 done, so he's going to start focusing next week, a couple of weeks, on getting 2017 going so they can start again. Any questions?
No, that's helpful. I think it'd be great if we could have just a quick update, even if it's small, on all the future meetings, too.
I will, thank you. I should have put that on the agenda. I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Thanks.
Okay, so you agreed to move me ahead.
Yeah, so if you want to do your new business, go right for it.
Thank you. The first item, which was a BWC case, I don't need to discuss it today. The case kind of solved itself. It doesn't look like it's a 50-50 chance that we would come out ahead. Unfortunately, it's a fairly high max value case, but I don't think that we have at best a 50-50 chance, so we decided it's probably not something we want to pursue. I don't really want to go into all the details. It's just that it's the initial doctor evaluation wasn't.
We shouldn't discuss any of that because that's all privileged information. We should go into executive session if we want to talk about it. So
nobody knows what person I'm talking about. I mean, it could be any department, but because
it's a small enough department with staff. I don't think we should discuss that in an open meeting just to protect the employees.
Sounds good. All right. Now moving on to the staff accountant position for 2020 resolution 228. I would like to add a staff accountant to the office. The fiscal office, we are in desperate need of more staff hours. Just to give you an idea, we have been kind of tracking our time on various things, and payroll is often at least 2 days, and it's a very time consuming process. And in the meantime, we also still have the regular duties coming to us for purchase orders, vouchers, and various other things that are going on. And I think that we can justify it full-time for sure. I think there's more than a full-time position, but that's what we can get, is hopefully a full-time position. This position will not affect the other position that hasn't been filled in administration. It has nothing to do with it. Both can be covered with the budget. We have estimated the budget, and it can carry this position. Also, this person can assist with a few of the duties that are currently being filled by a temporary person, and that's totally up to administration as to how they would like to handle that. But this person can answer the phone just like they could in any office if necessary. And I would like to have this position handle all money, all types of monies that are coming through that office that currently are out of our control. And we've had a difficulty with auditing money in that office. So I would like to have this person handle all funds in that office. This person would also cross-train to be able to do payroll and to do accounts payable, so that if someone is on vacation or is ill, you know, so for some reason can't perform their duties, we would have someone who is ready to pick up and be able to step right into positions. So the primary purpose of this position would be to do account of the purchase orders, taking requisitions from the department directors, processing these requisitions into purchase orders, assisting in getting everything put together for accounts payable. And the second part is taking care of monies and also doing daily bank reconciliations, which, you know, is one of the biggest focuses of our audit. So they would do daily balances, which they should. And then they would also be able to do any sort of community contact that occur with anyone who might be near the window, or for people coming in. If someone's at lunch, they can answer questions, phone calls, and so forth if necessary. So this resolution read as, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves the pay of up to $17 per hour in benefits for a full-time staff accountant position reporting to the fiscal officer. The primary duties and responsibilities are outlined per the attached exhibit staff accountant job posting. And of course, I'm not going to go through that right now, but it outlines many duties I just mentioned.
So I'll just speak my opinion on this. When we can't hire additional firefighters to field another engine, and when we are paying for a, you know, 20 hours a week finance consultant and a hefty amount for local government services, and we can't bring on a full-time administrative assistant at the moment, and we are in severe budget problems, I cannot fathom us expanding our finance office with another staffer that already has a full-time staff member in it, plus, you know, two or three full-time equivalent staffs. I would like to see us complete our audit, complete all the work that's currently being done with the staff that we currently have, and figure out how to bring in additional revenue so that we can fund critical services that help our residents first, like our firefighters. I think that is got to be our priority. If we're going to expend any money, it is putting money back on the street so that we can field the public services that our residents need. So at this time, I'm a no on bringing any additional staffing levels into our administrative office. I'll open it up for discussion with the other trustees.
John, do you have anything? I've got maybe a few things I'd like to add to that.
Mr. Horn, go ahead, and I'll go last.
Okay. My thoughts are, I think soon we're going to need whatever we want to title it, or however we want to title this person, and somewhere fairly soon, I'd say within the next 6 months, would be my thought. I've been giving it a lot of thought. But I think that this has to be not just someone that's going to be given to the financial department or financial department period. I think we need to have a diversified person when we do this, to take care of some of the other duties that we're lacking. Now I'm using you know, which is kind of crazy, we're using a $20 an hour a week or hour for a, what do you call it, temporary service and that kind of thing. So it just doesn't make sense on that. If we're going to do anything, we need to try to not use that person. I don't disagree with you at all, Ari. The thing is, if we're going to continue to use this temporary person, then it just makes sense to try to get someone aboard sooner than later. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I hear you. But we have a collective bargaining agreement in place for that position, and if we're going to hire, we should hire that position that is there.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, a collective bargaining thing.
Well, that's a legal agreement that we agreed to through the...
That's not my understanding on that legal agreement, according to Carl, what's his name, from the Teamsters Union. That is not a legal agreement. He told me the last time I saw him. So he said that is shut down, and the agreement was made that was by the wayside. I saw him. He popped in there, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago. I think he'd been talking to Jim Stevens. But no, I don't think that is a collective bargaining. In other words, we're not going to go ahead and add two or three more people right now. That's just not doable. But if we go forward with someone, then I think it's going to be a little more diversified person. Right now, we're using someone to satisfy the police department. We need to really define this thing and talk it over before we put someone, hire someone, because right now, we're burning money like crazy in the fiscal office. I just don't know how much longer we can withstand to pay all that money. We're going to need, in my opinion, Mr. Chairman, we're going to need to really call up this loan fella and see, I mean, how much pressure we're going to put on us for keep having these $37.50 an hour people and then other full-time employees for the financial department. I mean, we're burning money right now. So I think if we get into this too heavily, I think we need to get a few clarifications on a few things. I think it's totally out of control, frankly, right now. I mean, that's my opinion.
John?
Yes. I've looked at this several different ways, and one of the things that I've looked, first question that I ask is it in the budget to be able to do? And one of the questions that, after I speak about this, when Chief Welch gets up to speak, my question is for 2021, is it possible to bring on out of the general fund two additional firefighters to help take some of the load off, especially since this COVID-19, if we have any of our officers get sick, there's already times that we have an engine down and out of service. I'll wait and ask that question when the chief's on, because I'm curious to see what it would take if we're going to invest money into the township. Ari, just as you mentioned, one of the things is that we definitely need to look at our emergency service. But with that being said, I want to run back to what Mary is proposing. I talked with Mary in regards to this. I've looked at this. I talked to her prior to the meeting I was in earlier today. And, of course, this would not start until 2021 sometime. This would not be a hire that would be immediately. I was assured that it would be, you know, budgeted for the department. It was in the budget. So what I would ask, obviously, tonight, it's, you know, a no vote across the board. I mean, I know that, you know, there's two already saying no. But what I would like to do is continue talks and what this looks like. And I would encourage Ms. Reinhart to take and speak with each trustee of what it would look like and what the position is and how it fits into the budget for 2021. Of course, we have not seen the budget for 2021 yet, but, you know, so a lot of us could be in the dark with that. So at this point, it doesn't really matter what I ask. I mean, I know it's not going to go anywhere, but I would ask, gentlemen, that we definitely take a look at this because I think there's more information that Mary has for you guys that needs to be looked at in other additional duties in her department that is going to be taking up more time once the audit's complete and the way things are restructured.
Chair, can I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't tell you how desperately I need this position. I have been working, as you know, I keep saying this, 10 to 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. I cannot continue this pace, and that is just trying to keep up. And I'm not even keeping up with what I need to do, which are these other aspects that are coming through the audit, for example, looking at records retention schedules. We have boxes laying all over the place of records that are not even in proper storage. There's all kinds of things we're doing that are going to come up in this in the audit findings, and I see no reason to continue this mess. We need to get it cleaned up. We have a totally messed up department. I need them for help. I need somebody to help with research. I need them to help with the audit. What Jeff is doing is way beyond anything any of us can do, but I will have to start doing what he's doing when he's no longer here, and I can't do that, so I'm trying to make up for lost time, which I've been doing for months. It takes
every single one of our departments and employees feels the same way. We are under-resourced and don't have the tools to complete the work. Townships of our size are lucky to have an assistant fiscal officer, let alone the additional services of a full-time consultant helping out. I understand that it is complicated and it's difficult, and that the previous fiscal officer has left us in a really bad mess, but that's the job. You have a full-time staff position. You have a full-time staff position that reports to you. And like that is more than many other people have in the department in our township. I understand you need more help, but I think everyone needs more help. If you ask the police chief, if you ask our fire chief, if you have our roads crew, everyone needs more help. We need half dozen more police officers on the street. We need a half dozen more firefighters on the street.
We need three more road guys
on the street. So like I get
I'm
it,
gonna
but,
go
like,
I cannot work these hours. I'm just going to go to where I should be, a part-time person, because I'm not going to kill myself over this. This is ridiculous. I need help. I'm asking for it. I am supposed to tell you what I need, and you are to determine the amount. Not that it shouldn't be that there shouldn't be any. It should be the amount.
Noted. So we'll move on to the next agenda item that you have.
Resolution 229. Did you have a vote? I don't know that you had a vote.
Are you tabling it, Chairman?
There was no motion or second.
So it's just tabled, sir? Or what should I put in the notes, is what I'm asking.
There was no action taken.
Okay, that's what I needed to say. Thank you.
Okay, Resolution 2020-229, to provide legal review of agreements. Be it resolved, the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves to obtain legal review of agreements, for example, contracts or leases in excess of $10,000 annually or cumulatively prior to completion of appropriate signatures.
There is a motion on the table. Would someone like to move for that?
I'll make a motion, sir.
There is a motion. Is there a second? motion died for lack of a second. Next resolution.
Okay. This is resolution 2020-230 to restructure copays for MMO HRA plan. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves Medical Mutual of Ohio, MMO, to change the copay structure of the MMO medical plan as of January 1, 2021, to reflect the member portion of the copay only, for example, the minimum copay paid at point of service, thus eliminating all Franklin Township reimbursements to members for the copays. This change to the plan design has zero financial impact on members, as they will still have the same exact copay liability and will have a seamless payment of provider benefits internally by MMO that will collect health reimbursement arrangement, HRA, more expenditures from Franklin Township on a mutually agreed upon time basis, minimum weekly, and will therefore not require any pre-fund or impressed balance. I do have hopefully people on the call that can discuss this. Brian Lenzo, our agent, and possibly John from MMO that works with the HRA.
Yes, good evening. This is Brian Lenzo. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Just to follow up with what Mary had said, we had some in-depth discussions with Medical Mutual of Ohio directly over the last week and a half or so, and what MMO is proposing is to adjust the copay structure for the existing medical plan to reflect the true employee copay. So the only thing that would be adjusted on this MMO medical plan are the copays: office visits, specialists, urgent care, and emergency room. So the way it operates today, as you know, is the employee pays a $35 copay for the office visit, and Franklin Township reimburses them $25. The employee share is $10. The specialist visit is the same thing. It's a $50 copay. Franklin Township reimburses $40 of that. The employee share is $10. Urgent care, $75 copay. Franklin Township reimburses $65. The employee share is a $10 copay. In emergency room is $250. Franklin Township reimburses $175. The employee share is $75. So what we're looking to do is change the MMO medical plan to reflect a $10 office visit copay, $10 specialist visit copay, $10 urgent care copay, and a $75 emergency room copay. So the employees would have the same copay liability that they have today, but it removes any reimbursements by Franklin Township. So now these costs are going to be absorbed by Medical Mutual of Ohio. What that allows MMO to do is administer the HRA behind the scenes. The big hang up with HRA administration was the way that the reimbursements on those copays. Well, the reimbursements now go away. So MMO would be able to handle the HRA administration behind the scenes. A claim is filed with MMO and it is approved, and MMO will pay the provider directly. The members do not have to submit any claim forms, explanation of benefits, substantiation. Everything is done behind the scenes. The cost to alter the plan design with MMO would be an additional 2.2%. Which would take the MMO renewal for January 1st of 2021 from a plus 10 to a plus 12.2. This amounts to a total annual increase of $21,233 based on current enrollment. But because Franklin Township will no longer have to reimburse any of those copays, we estimate an annual savings to Franklin Township of approximately $14,700 per year. As Mary mentioned, MMO would collect the HRA reimbursements on a weekly basis, so they would notify Franklin Township, I believe, on Friday that the reimbursements for the previous week amount to X dollars, and then they would collect those funds on a weekly basis. And because MMO is also the major medical carrier, they would not require any pre-fund or impressed balance, so that you don't have to have a chunk of money sitting in an impressed balance somewhere, which is beneficial to the township as well.
Can you also describe how we would not need to use a debit and how the card would look like?
Sure. So because the copays are going to be structured to reflect the current copays, there's no need for a debit card. Employees, when they go in for an office visit, specialist visit, urgent care, ER, they're going to give their Medical Mutual of Ohio ID card, and they're going to pay that copay at the time of service. Anything outside of the copays, typically the way it works is the provider provides the service, and they would send an invoice or a bill to the member approximately a week or 2 weeks after that point of that service has been provided. That doesn't happen anymore because MMO is the one that is processing the claim. So when they approve that claim, it feeds over to the HRA system, and the HRA is going to pay the provider directly. So there's no need for a debit card. There's no money changing hands per se. It's all done behind the scenes with MMO administering the HRA.
Brian, John Fleshman here. I got a question, if I may.
Yes, sir.
So let's just say someone's going to have an elective surgery or they need to have something done. It's going to cost $500 or $1,000 out of their own pocket. So when they go in, do they just like give them the card and they just pay? How does that work?
Sure. So in most instances, the provider is they're going to bill the member at a later date. There are providers and facilities that will require money up front. And it's really up to the discretion of the provider. Now, obviously, I'm available to reach out to that provider and explain to them about the HRA and ask if it would be possible to have MMO reimburse them directly. But in the end, if a provider or a facility says to a member, for you to have the surgery, we're going to require an upfront payment of $500 or $1,000 or whatever that may be, just like today, the member is going to have to front that money, and then we would get them reimbursed when the claim is filed through Medical Mutual of Ohio. So hopefully that doesn't happen very often, but there are facilities and doctors and providers that will require some money up front, and we'd be happy to make an outreach call to them to maybe try to get rid of that. But in the end, if they charge that upfront money, the employee or the member has two choices. They can pay it and get reimbursed, or they can find somebody else to provide that service. It's no different than it works today, but hopefully those don't come up very often.
And how long of a turnaround, if someone lays out $1,000, let's just say they use their credit card or their debit card or et cetera, how quick of a turnaround is there to get them reimbursed their money?
Sure. Well, I don't know if I can commit to an actual, like, you know, within a certain amount of days, but with Medical Mutual of Ohio handling the HRA administration, as soon as they process that claim, it's going to feed over to the HRA system, and that payment would be made. So I can check with Medical Mutual of Ohio on that, but it should be typically by the time a claim is processed and paid by the vendor, and you run it through the HRA, it typically should be within, you know, 7 to 10 days. You know, it could extend out to maybe 2 weeks, but it's not going to be an extended period of time.
So I think what our customers or our employees have been used to is, I think it was, you know, every 2 weeks, pretty much you can set your clock to it. And even in some cases, our previous person could even talk to them and maybe even arrange payments ahead of time so that the money didn't come out of their pocket. Now, how does that work, or is that available, or how do we eliminate someone taking $1,000 or $2,000 out of their own pocket and then getting it back? Is there a better system that we're able to get them what they need without them having to have the burden laid out and then getting it back in 2 weeks?
Sure, that's a great question. So once again, there, if a provider or a facility requires that money up front and says, look, if the only way you're getting the surgery is if you pay some money up front, the only real solution to that is that the member reach out to me and my team, and we call that provider and walk them through the HRA with Franklin Township and ask them if they would be willing to provide that service with no upfront cost, knowing that they're going to get reimbursed directly from MMO. That's really the only way to do it. The HRAs are not designed to pay money up front. They're not set up, and I don't know all the IRS regulations and things like that, but they're not designed to pay money up front. They are designed to reimburse. HRA stands for Healthcare Reimbursement Arrangement. So if there were monies being paid up front for services in the past, that probably is not the way that you want to operate the HRA within the plan document guidelines.
You were correct in mentioning the IRS. It does affect your ability to run the program under the IRS if you're doing anything that's other than a reimbursement.
Yeah. And once again, trustees, is, you know, that's one of the things and the services, of course, that we provide as your broker for the members and family members of the employees, is when these situations arise, we are more than happy to make that call. A lot of times when we explain that there is an HRA, the provider is very comfortable with not collecting any upfront money. They know they're getting it basically from the township, but in this case, they're getting it directly from Medical Mutual of Ohio. So in many instances, they will be willing to waive the upfront cost, but once again, there are no rules. The Medical Mutual of Ohio cannot dictate to these providers that they can't do that. So there are certainly going to be situations where the provider says you either pay it or you go somewhere else. I guess what I'd like to say is if the member has the ability to put that on a credit card, they will get reimbursed before they get their bill. So they would be able to immediately pay those funds off on the credit card. And that's typically, I think, what most members do. Now, I would like to think that most providers are not going to ask for an exorbitant amount of money for certain procedures. And in most instances, they're not going to ask for anything up front. They're going to file that claim with Medical Mutual of Ohio, and then they're going to collect payment because they have to, the plan discounts have to get calculated. Maybe that member has satisfied most of their annual deductible or out-of-pocket, in which point they might not owe a lot of money. So most providers are going to let it play out and then send an invoice to the member. In this case, they won't be sending an invoice to the member, of course, because they're going to be reimbursed from Medical Mutual of Ohio directly.
So if we were to go outside of, let's say we go outside of the way that they're being paid, from the looks of that, then you could actually, the individual could be taxed on that money from the IRS because it was not done through the proper channels.
I believe that is correct, and I also believe that when those instances have occurred, it not only puts in jeopardy that one instance, it jeopardizes the whole plan. Obviously, we want to play inside the rules of an HRA and the plan documents and things like that. But I believe you are correct. A member could be taxable income to them, and it potentially could put your entire plan in jeopardy, which obviously we want to never have that happen.
So then if a person was to be charged for that taxes, let's say for instance they didn't realize that was going to cost them taxes and they didn't put it under 2019, now they could come back with penalties. I'm just thinking outside the box. I could see issues with that.
Late penalties and interest and whatever else the IRS might tack on, and once again, it's a situation that is avoidable. We moving forward, we do not and would not be in those situations because we're not certainly paying up any of the funds up front.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's all we had to regarding this resolution. If you would like to move with that.
Yeah, I'll see if I see sense. I think, anytime we are making changes to anything, even if it is beneficial and a good thing, the first step is not to bring it to the board for a vote. It is to sit down with our bargaining units in a labor management meeting and discuss those and make sure that there is buy-in or at least their opinion is heard, even if it's saving money or good things like that. So I, you know, I think that this sounds good, but until our employees who have a collective bargaining agreement and have a seat at the table are part of that conversation, I won't move forward on that. But if someone else on the board wants to move for it, that's their prerogative.
Chair, this does affect our ability to move forward with the HRA. This is an integral part of it. That's why it came up so quickly. We just got, we went through three different scenarios, and this is the one we ended up with.
No, I understand that. I understand that. And, you know, it's just as easy to talk to our three bargaining units quickly. You know, they're most of them have 24 hours on call around. So I think that process needs to be followed. Like, we have union agreements. We have very hard workers. They have a seat at the table and a voice. I want to make sure that they're okay and understand that this stuff's happening. And for that reason, I'm not going to move forward with that. That doesn't mean the other two trustees, they can do what they want, but we really have got to respect our employees and our bargaining units, because everything we do that ignores them harms their ability and their seat at the table, and that is fundamentally wrong.
This is not changing the benefit that they get. It doesn't change the benefit at all. It's just how we're doing it in a better way. It has nothing to do, they do not have a benefit change.
Well, they're not entitled to a fold either, actually. I understand what the chairman is saying, but that's a decision that the township has to make, us as the township, and we have the prerogative to do the best deal we can in retrospect for the residents of Franklin Township is who we work for. We do not work for unions, and that should be understood. And the unions actually do not have an actual vote in that. It's not. They don't have a legal vote in those things. And if we could say, by doing some work there and keeping everything on a steady basis, I mean that's a huge chore for employers to come out with the best deals on these things. That if you don't have a broker such as Brian or someone that really knows their thing. Now, that's up to Brian. If he wants to go and have meetings and this, that, and the other, but being a lot for one, anything that we don't have to do, I mean, the trustees for what they get and as hard as they're written, if we can have a broker such as Brian do the best he can and everything, then I think it's incumbent on us to do the best we can. We do work for the residents of Franklin Township, period. Okay.
And we took $14,700.
Correct.
So my question, Mr. Chairman, is do we have any of the bargaining group that's on that would be able to ask any questions and see if they feel comfortable? And the second question is, how much time, Ms. Reinhart, do we have to move on this? Is this something that has to be moved on today?
Yes, it should have been done earlier. As you know, we started this process late. I tried to start it in October. We didn't start it till November. So we're really behind the eight ball here.
John, to answer your question, I think, I'm not sure if there's any bargaining unit members on, but what I think is important, like, there's a process, right? We just can't talk to, like, Ron DeLozier and say, hey, Ron, are you good with this? Like, Ron has to talk to his members. The same thing with the FOP and the Teamsters. Like, the way it works is it's, you know, they have elected leadership, but they have to discuss this and be on board with it. And so I think that, you know, that I don't think they were given that option, and I don't even know if this was shared with them prior to this meeting, which I also think is a major problem.
It is not a bargaining issue. It is not a change of benefits.
This
is Ron DeLozier, Local 1441. Do I get a chance to speak right now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ron, I'll recognize you.
Okay, thank you. Ron DeLozier, Local 1441 president. I understand the change in benefit is not a bargaining issue, but if my math is correct, the total policy percentage change is 12.2%, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Savings, so any.
The savings okay, are $14,700.
And I understand that. The percentage cost increase to the premium is 12.2%, correct? Okay. Article 38 of our collective bargaining agreement with the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township says that anything above 12% increase is submitted to our bargaining unit in writing, and we have 10 days to respond.
But it's not an increase so, that doesn't come with a savings.
So are you saying right now, that there will be no increase to my insurance cost?
Yes. Yes.
Mm. Okay. If there's going to be zero, if there's zero cost increase to the amount of money that comes out of my paycheck every 2 weeks, I'm good with that.
Hey, is that correct?
No.
Is Brian still on the call?
Yeah. Yep. I'm still here. Sorry about that. So. Well, so if you remember the original renewal increase that was negotiated down with Medical Mutual of Ohio, so the original rate increase was a 20% rate increase with Medical Mutual of Ohio. That was negotiated down to a 10%. The timing of it, of course, as we know, we did not have the opportunity to actually go out and shop the market and things like that, which is fine. The cost of making these changes so that Medical Mutual of Ohio incurs the additional costs of those copays is an additional 2.2%, making that renewal increase a 12.2% increase. If 12% is the magic number, I would be happy to go back to Medical Mutual of Ohio and ask them if they could take 0.2% off of that and agree to do it for 2%. I don't know what the answer would be, but Mary, I don't know if that additional 2.2% would be an increase to the employee share of the premium, because I don't know if you're basing it off of a percentage or a flat dollar amount.
So we pay a percentage of our premium.
Yes.
The fire department pays a percentage of their premium. And then the increases are agreed upon in that article, that anything above 12% before we move forward with it will come to the bargaining unit. So this is above 12%, so it has to come to the bargaining unit. It's black and white. And if I allow 12.2%, then the next time somebody decides to change our insurance at 13%, then we're going to argue that it's just 13%. And then if I allow that, then it's the next time it's just 15%. You see where this is headed? And I answer to 38 other members, well, 32 other members, because we've laid off six of them. I answer to those people. And if I go to work tomorrow morning saying, hey guys, I approve, you know, just a little bit outside of what we approved. But, you know, next Friday, you're going to take home less money. That's not going to end very well for me. And it's unfair. We have a rule written. We have an agreement with the township. And I think it's owed to us that the township abide by that agreement. If the township doesn't want to abide by that agreement, there are processes in place to address it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I think you were spot on as far as why we bring in the bargaining agreement, and thanks to Ron and me wanting to hear this, and thank you, Ron, for speaking up, because if it wasn't going to make a change in your paycheck home, and I'm going to put it that way, I could care less if it's 20%, 14%, or et cetera, if the employee itself is not going to be affected by it, then to me, I'm a yes vote, because we're saving the township $14,000. But if the employees in this vote is going to be a 2%, or call it what you want, 1.8%, whatever it would be, I believe it's not fair to the bargaining group for us to sign a contract with them and then turn around and say, as Ron said, it's just a little bit more. So I wasn't thinking that it was going to affect them, and I'm glad I asked if, you know, the question to hear is anyone here from the bargaining group, because that was my biggest concern. But hearing what I'm hearing, you know, I don't have the contract in front of me, and I'm glad Ron had the language right there. Mary, my question is, can you say for certain, yes or no, with their percentage, would they pick up an additional cost if we pass this?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I believe Ron is correct. There would probably be 8 cents. But we will see what we can do about getting that 2%, the 0.2%. It's not 2%, 0.2%. So that's like about 8 cents. But we will see if we can get that changed.
So if we could, even though I heard what you said earlier, and I understand that, you know, the board has decisions that they have to make and et cetera, but this is exactly what I think Ari was talking in regards to, is the fact that any penny, even if it's 2 cents, 1 cent, 3 cent, where does it, once we step over the line that we signed as the Board of Trustees to agree to, if we go under, that's great. But if we go 1/10 of a cent over, then we have just broken our oath that we signed an agreement. And I like to say that, you know, that when I give my word, I give my word. So I do think it's important that we definitely let them know what's going on.
Okay, let me add something here. I have the bargaining agreement in front of me, and it says that it's 12% for the calendar year 2019, and then it says 12% for the calendar year 2020. It does not say anything about 2021.
Well, look, I will just say that I think we've been on this topic long enough. In the future, Mary, anytime you want to bring stuff up to the board that impacts anything with the employees, meetings with the bargaining unit should take place beforehand so that we don't have to spend 30 minutes as a board trying to figure out where everyone is at on this. Your office should have those conversations. You should have relationships with the heads of each bargaining unit, and you should be working with them so that they are bought in and part of this process, so that we have a functioning township the way it should. I have a great deal of respect for our employees, and I would hope that you would do that and give them the courtesy by talking to them. With that, I'll move to table this until that conversation can take place. Is there a second?
Chairman, this is Brian. Can I maybe just ask, I guess, a question real quick?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we had estimated that the savings to Franklin Township, once again, as Mary said, was about $14,700 per year. So my thought on this is, if we hold the rate increase to the employees at the 10%, Franklin Township bears the 2.2% increase none of that goes to the employees. That is, the Franklin Township absorbs that 2.2% rate increase because it's the county Franklin Township that's getting those monies back by not having to reimburse for those copays. So when we talk about Franklin Township saving the money, if the township would be willing to hold the employee share at the 10% rate increase and Franklin Township pay the 2.2% bump, it's the township that's going to recoup those funds over the course of the year because you're not reimbursing. Does that make sense? Like, I guess what I'm suggesting is don't bump up the employee's share of the premium for the 2.2%. Franklin Township absorb that because you're the one that's going to be getting the money back by not having to reimburse those copays.
And that's still an 8% or so, if I do the math quick in my head, that's an 8% or so savings to the township instead of 14, or whatever it was.
So that would be a compromise to be able to get this placed in place for January 1st, and it still is a win-win for everyone. So we don't change it for the, in fact, they get 10% instead of 12%, which could have been an increase for the staff. So it would be 10%, and we're just in the profit we would, not profit, but the savings we would have made will be compensated by that difference of 2.2%.
Yep. So and thank you. And just to add one more thing, is remember that there are other moving pieces to this, okay? And one of them is getting everything compliant with regards to the HRA and plan documents and things like that, making it easy for the employees and the members to navigate. We have found the best solution to kind of check all of the boxes, but it is imperative that we have something in place for January 1. We can't go into January 1 of 2021 with nothing in place. We have to do something, and this was by far the best solution, the easiest solution for everybody. So if we could work it that way where, the employee share increases at the 10% renewal, Franklin Township absorbs the 2.2, over the course of the year, the township is gonna make that money back.
Great. Can we see that in writing and written out so that we know exactly what we're voting on so that we have that? I do think this is a good idea, but I want to make sure that we don't just have like a handshake agreement or a verbal conversation here. I'd like to see it all spelled out in a legally binding document so that we have it all figured out that way.
Can we get it tomorrow, Brian, so that the trustees will be signing documents tomorrow? Could you have it for them? Just revise that language, that one sentence?
Yeah, you mean just as far as the Franklin Township absorbing the additional 2.2%? Yeah, I can. In fact, I'll do it right now and email it over to you.
And this is Ron Delosier again. I'm completely fine with that.
So thank you, Ron.
It's in the 10, it's fine. The 2.2 I think was a last minute thing, and I'm sorry, but my members aren't going to bear the weight of that. So
I appreciate
we have two other bargaining units that we haven't heard from on this issue, but I'm sure they're going to feel the same way. So three other bargaining units. I forgot about the newer one. They're going to feel the same weight, and everything else that's going on right now. I think it's only fair. The 10% is well within the purview of the article. I'm comfortable with it. If the township wants to absorb the 2.2% so we can have a debit card, great.
Well, it wouldn't be a debit card. You would just have your regular card now. You wouldn't even have to have a debit card. You just have the regular card, the Meta Mutual card, and then everything's taken care of on the backside.
So we're not getting... I'm sorry, I came into this late. Never mind.
Okay. Ryan, can you answer him?
Cool.
Yeah, Ron, you are more than welcome whenever you're available to call me on my cell, and we can chit-chat offline for a few minutes. But basically, what we've done with Medical Mutual of Ohio very quickly here is MMO is going to administer the HRA. And because of that and the changes to the copays on the major medical plan, so once again, the employees will have the same copays they have today. We're just getting rid of the reimbursements. We're knocking the MMO copays down to your level. MMO is going to handle all the HRA administration behind the scenes. So when they approve a claim, they're going to pay the provider directly. Your members do not need a debit card. There's no claim forms or substantiation of claims, like submitting your explanation of benefits. Everything's done behind the scenes, and that was one of the things that MMO worked up for us. To simplify this process across the board. So you would not have the need for a debit card. And remember that once this is finalized, I can finalize all of our open enrollment documents. So the members will be getting what we call a benefit guide. It's going to explain all your benefits, give you phone numbers and contacts and links to do provider searches and things like that. I will put a page in there about how the HRA works. I'm available, of course, to do group meetings, individual meetings, phone calls, Zoom meetings, go-to meetings, whatever, to make sure that everybody understands how it's going to work January 1st. But the process is going to be as simple as it can be. No debit cards, no claim forms, no nothing. All of it is done behind the scenes with Medical Mutual of Ohio.
All right, Brian, thanks. So, will you do me a favor and reach out to our chief so we can try and figure something out so that the guys at the stations can figure this out?
You mean as far as just some communication, you mean?
Yeah, we'll have to figure out some way to get somehow you in front of everybody.
Sure.
Be it digital, be it wherever, because this is a significant change. And we have 20 days to figure it out. So,
Well, we're going to, once this is agreed to and signed off on, we'll move forward very quickly, meaning like next week you could get, you know, open enrollment started. Everyone has those benefit guides and plan election forms. I can set up as many virtual meetings or in-person meetings that you would need. So, I'm on board with that.
So we have Sergeant Moore, one of our police officers, an FOP member, on as well. I think he wants to speak. And I'll just also make note again that we wouldn't have had to spend an hour talking about this now if the fiscal office had talked to the bargaining units before this, and there wouldn't have been confusion. This is a definite, like, this should not be the norm, and I would encourage our fiscal officer to do the due diligence and talk with our employees so that we do not have to go through this every single time the fiscal office wants to make a change that is confusing and that our employees have confusion about. With that, I will recognize Sergeant Moore. Administrator Pops, will you unmute Sergeant Moore here?
No, we had talked about this for about, you know, it's, I know we got a late start, but everything was nailed down, I thought, and I thought the only question was the actual total percent, and I understood it was going to be like 11.5%, but apparently that got changed or something, I'm not sure, but, we spent a lot of time on it, except probably should have just had a great big general meeting of this thing so everybody understood and all the gossip and everything would have been cut down too. So, okay, I hope we're okay here.
Sergeant Moore?
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. Sergeant Moore with the Township Police Department and FOP Lodge Rep for Lodge 9. Looking at our contract, I just kind of found out about an hour and a half before the meeting that we were going to be talking about insurance tonight, so I didn't get a chance to do a lot of research, but just like the fire department mentioned, we also have the same kind of restrictions in our current contract that goes through 22, and under Article 22, I understand it's only going to be a 10% instead of the 12.2. I think the members from the FOP would understand that, not being an increase on their part. From being with the township for a while and understanding what Brian was saying earlier about the not having the reimbursement and going back to like how we used to have it when we had the OPIC card, where you could give that and your insurance card to the doctor office and they would do all the billing directly in between that, and we didn't have to mess with that. Going back to something like that, I think our members through the FOP would be okay with, and that I could explain pretty easy if I understand the way Brian was explaining it. So as long as we stay at the 10%, the FOP shouldn't have any issue with it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
I would ask, respectfully ask, since we've heard from the bargaining agreement, I agree with what you said earlier. We should have had this worked out ahead of time. I would ask that we move forward on this and put it before the Board of Trustees to go for a vote.
So are you making a motion to do so?
I would ask if you would like to, because I think you started a motion of tabling, so if you would incline, I would like to second it.
To table?
Well, there's... Okay. So, what is this vote going to be exactly? Okay, so the disagreement is in the percentage only, correct?
Mr. Horn, if I believe right, what we're basically, this is a savings of 14% if we do this. However, we're going to take a percentage of it and bring their percentage down to 10. which still leaves a percentage savings for the township.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that we're talking about the resolution with this one clause change, or adding a clause that explains the 10% and the township absorbing the 2.2%.
That is correct. You want to read that off with that language being in it to the board?
I actually, it's Brian again. I did type up the, retyped up the document. I could read it for you real quick, and then I can email it to Mary if you'd like me to.
Yes, please.
Okay, so what the what I added in the document was, because of the cost savings to Franklin Township, the increase to the member share of the Medical Mutual of Ohio medical premiums will be based on the agreed upon 10% increase for 1/1/2021. Franklin Township will absorb the additional 2.2% increase.
Does that sound satisfactory?
And I if you want, I can read it again real quick.
John, would you like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion that we accept as stated forward.
There's a motion to accept the resolution. Is there a second?
Yeah, it's second.
Ralph? Okay, there's a motion and a second. Yeah. We've had plenty of discussion. I will call the question and ask for a vote.
Ari?
No.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would like to personally thank the bargaining unit for being on this Zoom meeting to be able to, in this type of time that we're in now, and we're not in a general session together, but that they have taken their time to come and listen and to be able to put their input in, and we were able to work this out for the greater good of our employees.
Thank you. All right, anything else from the fiscal office?
Nothing from fiscal office, thank you.
All right,
this time we'll move to the police department and we'll go to Chief Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Awesome. Hopefully everybody's doing well this evening. We do not have anything new this evening. I appreciate Sergeant Moore being on here to represent the bargaining unit. And with that said, do you have any questions?
I don't. The rest of any of the board have any other questions for our chief?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one question I have, Chief and Chairman Alex. He had said that the FOP was good with 10%. So, what we're saying here, the resolution we just did for the fire department and the police department, we did one, and we did one resolution for both departments. Is that what we did?
Oh, it's township wide for all the policies.
I beg your pardon, sir. I didn't understand you.
That was township wide for everyone.
Oh, township. Okay. That probably should be stated in that resolution, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to the fire department, Chief Welch.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good evening.
Yes.
20, the end of 2020 here has been plagued with a bunch of FMLAs and COVID, so we've been trying to juggle people left and right to the staff. Right now it's getting worse than ever, especially with the COVID numbers increase, and we're starting to see that now within our department. I'm not sure about the others. That's where we're at right now. We're still managing. Moving on, I got some FMLA resolutions to read. Be resolved, Frank Township, Frank County, Ohio Board of Trustees, the replacement of Aiden Chain on FMLA 12, 10, and 20, the time to be determined.
I'll still move. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Chairman, I didn't hear anything that Jim said. Would you mind repeating that, sir?
Okay. Basically, I have a few FMLA requests to face to the
okay. I didn't even hear it. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. We're placing Baden Chandler on FMLA starting 12/10 to a time to be determined.
Okay. Okay.
There's a second on the floor, I believe.
Yeah, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
The second FMLA request, be resolved that the Franklin Township, Franklin County, Iowa Board of Trustees approve the placement of Rigby Michaels on FMLA starting 12/9 of 2020 for an estimated of 45 days.
So moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the third request, be resolved by the Franklin Township, Franklin County, Iowa Board of Trustees, approve the placement of Alex Keefe on FMLA from 11/24 of 20 through 12/5 of 20.
So moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The last thing I have is we had a bill for extra medic. We took it to CAT and it ran extraordinarily high. It's an older medic. It's a 2010, has many miles on it, but we still depend on it for a backup vehicle. They went ahead and did the repairs, and I need a resolution to pay that bill.
How much is it?
It's $12,244.65.
So moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Very nice.
I'll ask a question afterwards, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'll ask a roll call.
All right.
Yeah.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Chief, what was it that
number there?
What was it that they actually did on this repairs? You know?
They replaced the high and low EGR valves. They replaced it went in with an exhaust issue, I believe, and an oil leak, and they found oil was getting into the turbo and it was getting it through the EGR valves. What EGR does is fuel emissions. It has to do with cycling a diesel exhaust, making it clean. And it's a constant fight. We've had problems with EGR valves ever since they came out with this new system.
So my question is, well, it doesn't matter. We can't until we see the budget. I was one that adamant that we went with the program that we now, where we get a new medic every so many years, and just the cost alone makes the payments a year, because out of $12,000, would that make a one-year payment if we would add a new one?
Generally, they're about $40,000 annually for one payment for one medic if we take a six-year term.
And then how much money have we put in this one so far this year, do you know, roughly?
I don't know roughly. I'm going to say this is right around that amount, because it hasn't been in service too much, and, you know, obviously this is a large amount that came to my attention.
So usually, you know, one of the things when I was new on the board that I was adamant about is quit putting the money into repairs and put it into payment for new one, and you come out the same, but the difference is the public is now being able to an updated piece of equipment that we wouldn't take a chance of it breaking down in an emergency. But I mean, I know I'm beating a whole different drum, but I just was curious on that, and I thank you.
No problem. I would like to start seeing an order for a medic next year and hopefully receive it by the end of next year.
Sure.
Still working with fiscal and the budget year of 2021 in order to work something out.
Sure.
I did forget a amended resolution. I would like to ask the board to amend resolution 2020-209 regarding administrative leave for firefighter Thornton. We passed a resolution last trustees meeting placing him on administrative leave. I would like the minutes to reflect that we're placing him on paid administrative leave.
I will move to amend that resolution. Is there a second?
I will second, sir.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
No.
And the last thing I have to address John's earlier question, he was waiting on me to speak. Yes, three more firefighters out of the general fund or some other funding would be a game changer.
So my question on this, Chief, as you know, right now I'm one of the older and serving trustees, and when I came on, what a world of shock I got. Immediately we laid off, how many firefighters was that we laid off?
Eight.
And we went through a really tough time. And I believed in my heart that we would be able to get it back, and we did work our way back up again. I think that we can do it again. We did support out of the general fund monies to help keep it going as long as we could. If we wouldn't have, it wouldn't have made it. So the comment that I'm going to make is I think that we need to come together and look at the budget, and we need to look to see how we can subsidize, because at the end of the day, one of the things when you're talking emergency service, we have to be there for our residents, irregardless. And we need to see what we can do to make this happen. We need to see and sit down and talk, just like we went through the insurance, and find a way that we can be able to get at least three of the laid off firefighters back to work, so that we don't have what I think you call it a brownout, that we don't have that, and we're not jeopardizing any of our residents potentially.
Well, I'll tell you the way you could get a couple or three guys back to work pretty darn quick, if on this new contract we have coming up, if they're willing to make a few concessions there, we can put some guys back to work. So that might be something that somebody might want to talk about here or something.
All right, Chief, you have anything else for us at this time?
No, I don't have anything further unless you guys could do.
Okay, we'll move on to the road department with Superintendent Stevens.
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
The only thing that we really had on the agenda was an update on the closed bid sale of our F-550 dump truck that we've had parked out front for the last 2 weeks. I checked with Administrator Potts this afternoon and right before the meeting, and as of now, we have not received any bids on that truck. So what I would like to do is ask the board to let us take it out 2 more weeks, and we've already put it on and advertised it through all of our social media, but we're going to try to ramp that up a little bit more and see if we can get this thing to move forward.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Stevens, one of the things, and this is just me, I look for things for sale all the time. It's hard to see that it's for sale sitting there because you can't really read the paper. If we was to put a regular sign that has the orange that says for sale in there with the paper that you got, so that people see what we're doing with that, maybe that would get some more interest.
I'll be more than happy to put regular for sale signs in.
Yeah, just, you know, put them in there. Don't have to put anything on it because they have to get out and read the paper that you have already in the window.
That's not a problem. We can take care of that. I know that Administrator Potts, like I said, he also posted it on all of our social media outlets.
Sure.
Pictures and all the information, but we will justify that, John, by going ahead, and tomorrow I will get, you know, bigger signs and whatnot to put out there and maybe get a little bit more attention. I do know that there has been quite a few people stop and look it over. I fielded a phone call in the office and returned the gentleman's call and left a message and heard nothing back.
Okay.
We'll do everything we can to get it, you know, more into the public eye.
intact. I do know that Mr. Reeser had given me a call, wanted to know, and I left him a message back saying that the procedure is that you can put in a sealed bid for it, and then we take the highest bid. So I have not heard back from him on that.
I know you reached out to me and told me that, and I hadn't heard anything back from him either. Other than that, that's pretty much all we had on the agenda for this evening. I know that there's been some discussion about our pole building out there, trying to find a way to possibly get heat into that building out there. We're starting to get more and more equipment that needs to be, I know Welsh was kind enough to go ahead and let us put our new big piece of equipment up there in their pole barn. Made room for us to take this big water jet up there that just we can't afford for that to be out and get froze up. Our building that we're working out of now, the way that the trucks are being built, the ones that we use now, once we get snow plows put on them and salt spreaders put on them, it's impossible to move around in the shop because the shop is so small, so we have to park them over into the other building. And if you have salt in the back end of those and you've been out working a snowy event, knowing that you're going to have to go back out in the morning again and you have salt in the back and you put it out there in a building that has no heat, the salt freezes up actually in the bed of the truck and it makes it kind of difficult for it to work its way through the spreader. So I would like to ask the board for permission to go ahead and look into that, looking at possibly two different sources of heat. For enter the building is already insulated. We may have to put some sort of a ceiling in it to keep the heat down, something similar to what they've done in the pole barn up at the firehouse. I'm going to look at a couple of different ways, propane or just natural gas. We have natural gas out there. It may be more cost efficient to go with propane. I'd just like to ask the board to go ahead and move forward with that and get an approval to go ahead and start looking into that.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to give us some options, we can definitely move on that.
Sure. Jim?
Yes.
Are you talking about the starting aspect when the trucks were setting and that kind of thing? The diesels I had setting out, I always had those block heaters in them. And,
everything. You know, Mr. Horn, the block heaters we have plugged in. If we have them, if we have the trucks in our maintenance shop, which is rather small once you get everything in there, that's a heated facility there. But if we have to put things over into the pool barn, every truck is plugged in. The block heat is one thing. We're talking about once you have salt in these trucks and you're doing a salt, it creates somewhat of an issue. But with the trucks that we have now, once you get the biggest problem that we've got is just space, right?
You also have the hydraulics too and some other things. It just makes it's just hard on the equipment when you're sitting in there and it's below freezing and you have the hydraulics that you're going to be starting activating as soon as you start using the plow. There's so many different things. I just think it's time for the equipment that we, the taxpayers have paid for, that we do due diligence and we have the capability of heating the barn so that it takes better care of the equipment. With that said, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we allow Mr. Stevens to fact find and get back to the board.
I'll second that. And I'll call the question after roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
one question I have for Mr. Stevens before we move on. I mentioned, I think at the last meeting about our, we come up with the non-payment from Valley View on our leaf removal and stuff from last year. Did we ever get the check on that? Have you heard anything back? I know you had sent an email to them, I believe, Jim.
Yeah, I personally have not heard anything back from Valley View on that. We did not do any leaf pickup. The last thing that we had heard about that was it was kind of late into the season to let their residents know, although they already had a bunch of them already raked the stuff to the roadway. So we've broke down all of our leaf collection now. If there's any leaves within our township residents that have leaves out there, we'll have to come back around with the backhoe and pick them up. But no, I have not heard of any resolve from the past years.
Mr. Stevens?
Yeah.
Sir, I recall something that I saw in the email, and it reflected that I was at the meeting when they passed a resolution for us to be paid. I don't see the payments and stuff like that when it comes in, so I don't know. Are they currently paid for 2019, 2018? Do they have any outstanding invoices from us?
Sir, I don't have anything to do with the invoicing. The only thing that I do is I give all the information together with our cumulative time, our expenses, and send them a statement on that. But as far as getting payments, that's above my head. I have nothing to do with any.
Yeah, well, Ron had brought it up a couple or three meetings ago, just brought it to the board's attention. They had not paid. I believe she said for 2019, Robin, I don't know if you recall that or not.
That's correct, sir. They still have not paid.
And what is that? What, ma'am, if I may, what is that total for that?
I would have to look it up, sir, but we've sent, in 2020, we've sent them two invoices for 2019 leaf collection, and we've received nothing. I've attempted to call. I've talked to the village clerk. He recommended that I go to the mayor's home and knock on her door.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it on that? Okay. The last thing that I have is just another update. Go ahead, Ralph.
Okay. That's all I had for you, Jim. Thank you. Okay.
And then, Mr. Stevens, one thing I had is... I know there's several different people that we could probably talk to, and even Mr. Riggs that did the police building, general contractor, he may be of a good source as well for saving money.
Yeah, I'll reach out to all the contacts that we've got, John, and come up with a few different
plans. I'm sure you've got some that we don't know about, and et cetera, so thank you.
Yeah, the last thing that I have is just an update on our... our truck, the new truck. I spoke with Valley Ford today, and it looks like the first of next week we will be able to make a trip up to Cleveland and pick that up. So it's going to come in way ahead of the time frame that was set forth through the CARES Act.
Wow, that's good.
Probably the biggest and everything new now. Everybody's looking for work, you know.
Well, this is what it's been. One of our problems is we've been down a truck for a few months now, and when we had all of our trucks set up for leaf collection, that pretty much put all of our brush collection, our trash collection, and everything else behind. And that's what we've been scattered trying to get caught up on everything now. So hopefully getting that into our fleet where we have another usable truck, then we should be able to get caught up. That's all I've got, gentlemen.
If you go up to Cleveland, you might need to use that plow just to get out of Cleveland if they still have that 24 inches of snow.
I'm hoping we don't get any snow.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. A bunch of trustee reports. I want to. I know that Mark has sent over a calendar that Robin had put together for the 2021 township meeting date. I'd like to make a resolution to accept that calendar. I'd like to ask for a second, please.
Mr. Chairman, I will second that, and I'm scrambling real quick to pull my paper up. I did look that over, and prior to, so we don't get into the same situation. Mr. Potts, we, for 2021, are not getting ourselves into the same thing that we did where we didn't have it on the same time period as the payroll. Is that correct?
I believe that's the case, Robin. If you have anything to add on that?
Yes, everything has been color-coded, so you'll see, like, when there's a payday, which means payroll week, meeting week is in a different color, a board-approved federal holidays are in a different color. So there's kind of like a little color key code to follow. And so the meetings are on one color. The next week would be a different color. I think I did green for payroll, just money. So that kind of helps you maybe see how the layout would be. That's why I gave it to Administrator Potts 2 weeks ago, so you could have some time to look at the layout and see if that was satisfactory.
So just a question. On July, we have a meeting that's going to be on Monday the 5th.
No, that's a holiday, sir. Look at the color.
I apologize. So the board meetings is in red, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So going to July, I guess we can look at it. Do we want to have 3 meetings in July? That can be amended as we get closer to it and look at that, but there are 3 dates in July that we prefer that we have.
Well, what happens is when you skip, then it ends up being 3 or 4 weeks between meetings, and then there's just a lot of information that it is kind of, I think, caught out there that could be, you know, beneficial to the public to hear and being in meetings, and we're trying to have all these special meetings in between, which then makes it more difficult for me to keep up on all the meeting minutes, as we already know.
Sure. So with that being said, Mr. Chairman, I would second the motion.
Great. There is a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. That's all I had. Trustee Fleshman?
No, Mr. Stevens is already, I had down the same thing he was going to speak on about heat in the building for our equipment. I've already talked in regards to our fire chief or possibly what could we do in 2021 as far as staffing. So that's all that I have. I will mention this. I believe we are now with the sewers. I was second to the last. I just had mine done. It took 3 days to do. I have a neighbor across the street, which is due to be done next week. And that will complete the complete project. They are talks, and I'm going to continue to find out and try to spearhead any of it. Additional third rounds, you know, every time it seemed like that was the only time. But I believe that with people that barely did not make it the first time or the second time, I'm anxious to see what the numbers are going to be, and I would, especially with the year that we just had in 2020, I would encourage anyone to apply for financial assistance for the sewer connection. It could make a difference if your income had changed in 2020 and they're asking for records in 2020. Of course, this would be no outlay to you. There is a lien on your property for 10 years, and at the end of 10 years, it goes away. You pay nothing at all. If you sell that property in 5 years, you only owe 50% of what the job cost. So it's a good program for the people of the town, or residents of the township, to definitely, we're mandated to do it. So I encourage people that may not have qualified to try to qualify, feel free to reach out to me. I can help you get in contact with the right people. I'm just waiting to hear back of when and what it would look like for 2021 for any assistance.
Thanks, John. Ralph, anything to report?
Yeah, the only thing I had, I think Robin Cheney or some of the residents over there had asked about the noise, you know, the concert noise and everything. I don't think we're going to have anything else the rest of the winter, but I got an answer back. We still haven't had any meetings yet, rural zoning meetings, and supposedly have one scheduled for mid-January. So hopefully I'll find a little something else on for the residents over there, maybe give them some idea of what they're going to do on that thing. I don't think there's been anything settled at all from a standpoint of the noise and so forth. So if I hear anything back on that, I'll get a hold of Rob and let her know that.
Mr. Horn, real quickly, with the Board of Trustees, I would encourage all the board to show our support to the residents that if this was to become something to be permanent or continue, what we've seen exercised so far has not worked. It can only get worse, and I hate to say it that way because I live 3 miles away and I could clearly hear it. We do want to see improvements in the area. We do want to see Western Mall become something, but what if you were a business that was opening next to that? I can only imagine if I can hear the music in my home with watching TV and turn the TV down trying to figure out where this sound's coming from, and it's coming from 3 miles away. I can imagine if a restaurant or someone that would like to open up as that area starts to develop. So I think that
Know, John, they may end up pulling some business back into Westland there. I know Tunnel Mall up there, is their business is going to pot, I guess. They've got about 30 to 40% vacancy up there right now, and a lot of those big box stores are getting ready to button up there, so it's not looking really good for them. So they may end up, getting the retail back at Westland. You never know.
From what I understand, they are in, they're going into foreclosure. They've laid on their payments or whatever you call it, fiscal distress. But what I'm asking the board is to think of what do we want our township to look like. If we do put some kind of concert type thing in, it hurts any other businesses that would potentially want to come in and around it because it's going to affect their patrons that come to their businesses. So I understand that when I was on the Zoom meeting with even Mrs. Cheney was on there and some other people, there was only one board member in the appeals process that said that they kind of agreed and they saw it and they voted no. So Franklin Township doesn't have a voice. They have a voice, but ultimately it's the county's decision. And I would hope that we let the county see what it's going to do to us. So that's all I have to say.
All right, with that, we'll go to Administrator Potts for your report out.
Yeah, all I have right now is, as you know, that the newsletter should be going out very soon. We've got a quote that I sent over to you. It was in an email form from Pro Printing. And there's someone outside yelling into the window here. So as soon as we get done with this, I'll go see what that's about. I just asked for a resolution to approve a quote for Pro Printing to print and mail the Fall Winter 2020 newsletter. And the quote they sent over was no more than $3,100.
So moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank all the departments and everyone that worked on that and getting that in. It looked very good.
Agreed. Anything else, Mr. Klotz?
That's all I have.
Any questions or comments for those who come in?
There's none in the Zoom group chat other than Robin Cheney. Thank you, John. I didn't see any in email or on the Facebook page. I don't know if there's any from the room.
Any comments from the room?
I may not know what that means. You might want to rephrase that, Mr. Chairman.
If anyone that's joined the Zoom that has a question, please let us know now. Okay. Hearing none, that will be our meeting. It's the first night of Hanukkah, so everyone that's celebrating, happy Hanukkah. I'm going to light my menorah. I hope everyone has a great evening, and since this is our last meeting, scheduled meeting of the year, we hope everyone has a good holiday. Merry Christmas to all those who celebrate. Happy Kwanzaa, and a happy New Year. So
So hope everyone has a great time. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.